It's fun to watch kids make progress, you know, and Colin's making progress. So praise the Lord, that's a good thing. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and open with me to Revelation chapter 3. And today we will finish the chapter. When we started into Revelation, it just seemed like, wow, this is this huge book. It's going to take forever. But it won't take forever. We're already finishing chapter 3 today, and it's going rather quickly, and it's been very, very good for my heart. I hope it's good for yours as well. We come to this last of the seven churches to whom a revelation was originally sent, and we will see, and you'll hear it as I read it, this is a loving warning to the lukewarm, a loving warning to the lukewarm. What Christ says here applies to every lukewarm Christian, and we will find out that a lukewarm Christian may be not an accurate description. Is that person really a Christian at all? What Christ says here applies to every lukewarm church. That too may be a contradiction. Is it really a church? But Christ is speaking to those who are lukewarm, and without apology, I will pass on his message directly to those who are lukewarm today. Follow along, if you would please, in your Bibles. I'd encourage you to do that. You will see that what I have to say to you is directly from Christ and directly from his word. Beginning at Revelation 3, verse 14, and we'll go all the way through 22. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing,' and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And the Spirit says to us here, or speaks to us here, about temperature. About temperature. There are three of them: cold, hot, and lukewarm. But of course, Christ is not talking about physical temperatures that you can measure with a thermometer or a temperature gauge of some kind. He is talking about spiritual temperatures. And anyone who's listening to this, you who are here today, anyone who's listening online, you are one of these three: cold or hot or lukewarm. And the truth is, this is a loving warning from Christ to the lukewarm. This is a loving warning from Christ to the lukewarm. And Christ gave it to his messenger of the church at Laodicea. He has given this message to every messenger since. It is a message to be passed on to the whole church, and yet it is without apology aimed at those who are lukewarm. And if that's you, and of course you will have to assess that, then Christ's message consists of seven truths that you might become zealous and repent. Seven truths to the lukewarm that you might become zealous and repent. Now, it's not as though what Christ says here has no application to anyone else. It does. So as we go through, I will word what Christ says to the lukewarm, because that's the way it's worded. But if you listen closely, I will also try to word it for all of us so that you understand the truth being taught. First of all, to you who may be lukewarm, Christ knows your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. That's the first truth. Christ knows your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. Now, for all of us, Christ knows our works, and he knows our spiritual temperature. He knows whether you are cold, whether you are hot, or whether you are lukewarm, and he can assess that. But the truth if you are lukewarm is he knows your works, and he sees, he knows, you are neither cold nor hot. Verses 14 and 15. And to the angel, that is the messenger, of the church of the Laodiceans write. And as I have in the past with all of these churches, I don't take a lot of time to go into the geography or a lot of the cultural or historical background. You see that neither does the Apostle John. But of all the things that you might read about Laodicea, there's one thing that would stand out, and that is that Laodicea had a water problem, a serious water problem. There was a nearby city called Hierapolis, H-I-E-R-A-P-O-L-S, Hierapolis, and they had natural hot springs. Anybody ever go to the hot springs? We've got them in Colorado. They're kind of nice, right? Russians firmly believe that hot water and hot springs have medicinal value. And we've gone to a couple of the hot springs around here, and every time we've gone, I think we've gone three times over 10 years, and every time I have heard Russian voices, and so I eventually swim over and I strike up a conversation and talk to them in Russian. And it usually opens up to an opportunity for the gospel. There are Russians to be found there. So nearby Hierapolis had natural hot springs. They were useful for health. Nearby Colossae had natural cold springs. We don't go to cold springs to bathe, but if you find cold springs, a lot of times that's good drinking water. Again, Russians sell a water called Radnik, Radnik, and that stands for source or spring. And just as in Russia, so here, there are cold springs of water all over the country. And when I was growing up, if we saw cold springs of water coming out of the mountain, my dad sometimes would get out a big jug and he'd fill that thing up and take it home. That was special, refreshing water. Laodicea had neither one of these. They did not have natural hot springs like Hierapolis, nor natural cold springs like Colossae. So what they did was they imported their water from Hierapolis, which was about 6 miles away, and it came in via aqueducts. Well, you might guess that aqueducts were not super clean or super pure in those days. And by the time the Hierapolis hot spring water got to Laodicea, it was lukewarm and dirty and repulsive. Jesus Christ, being the master teacher, is making use of that fact, and he is letting the lukewarm Christians and the lukewarm church in Laodicea know that they are as repulsive to him as that nasty water that comes in fresh, ha-ha, off the aqueduct. Well, Jesus knows your works, and he can know if you are neither cold nor hot. Notice, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. These three truths about Christ are very pertinent to what he says to the Laodicean church. First, Jesus Christ is the Amen. Now, you and I, we say Amen at the end of a prayer, which we kind of translate as, so may it be. Jesus, as you know, often said Amen before he would make a statement. Sometimes he would say Amen, Amen, which is translated in your Bible as truly, truly, or verily, verily, or most assuredly. But literally, it's Amen, Amen. For example, Amen, Amen, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. This is Jesus' way of emphasizing the certainty of assertions. Well, Jesus Christ himself is the Amen. Jesus is the certainty that what he declares is true. What he prophesies will come to pass. He is not only the Amen, he is the faithful and true witness. We talk about witnesses in a court of law. A witness is somebody who stands up and says, I know what I saw. I know this to be true. I saw it with my own eyes. I heard it with my own ears. Well, Jesus is the faithful and true witness. And that statement relates to the reliability of his testimony. If Jesus says you are lukewarm, you're lukewarm. And so he says to this messenger in Laodicea and by application to his church, I know that you are lukewarm. And his testimony is true. Jesus Christ is also the beginning of the creation of God. That means he's the author and the initiator of God's creation. That's true of all of God's creation. It's true of you as part of God's creation, and it's true of the church, which is also God's creation. And this title speaks to Christ's authority and the authority of his commands. So the first, he is the Amen, pertains to the certainty of his assertions. He is the faithful and true witness, pertains to the reliability of his assessments. And he is the beginning of the creation of God. This pertains to the authority of his commands. He is the one who says, I know your works. And if you're lukewarm, then he knows by your works that you are neither cold nor hot. Now, cold and hot are temperatures. We're very familiar with temperatures. We're familiar if you get a bath or shower and you realize that water is either cold or it's hot. And there, we like warm. We also are familiar with a car, and we have a temperature gauge, and it's either cold or hot, and we like lukewarm. We don't want it to run too hot, and we don't want it to run too cold. But when it comes to spiritual temperature, you would be better off being cold or hot than being lukewarm. Now, Jesus is talking about spiritual temper here, or temperature, but to be more specific, he is talking about zest or zeal for Christ and for all that he says. Zest and zeal for the church. Zest and zeal for evangelism and discipleship and worship. That's what it's talking about. How do we know? From the words. See the word hot in verse 15? He says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. The word for hot is zestos, from which we get the word zest. And later, down in verse 19, he says, be zealous and repent. That is the corrective. That's the fix. And so the issue here is zeal or zest, fire for the Christian life, fire for Christ. And so the obvious question here is, what is your spiritual temperature? What is your spiritual temperature? What do your works reveal? Are you cold? Cold means you have no zeal at all for Christ. No zest for Christ and his church. You're an unbeliever. You're not at all zealous to know him or to obey him or to serve his people. You're cold. Your love for Christ is cold. Your love for the truth is cold. Your love for the church is cold. And if that's you, that is also not good. But this message of Christ is not aimed specifically at you. Are you hot? Hot means you are zealous for Jesus Christ. You're a sincere, spirit-filled believer. You're zealous to know him, zealous to grow in your knowledge of him. You're zealous for the church. You're zealous to learn and to grow and to be around believers. You show up, you come to church and Bible study. I mean, you're probably here more than you ought to be. Always showing up and asking for more. Hey, how come we don't have Bible study on Saturday night? It's kind of a gap in the program here. You're zealous to obey Christ. You're probably convicted by every message. Every message is convicting to you because you feel like you're not as obedient as you want to be. You're zealous to be like Christ. You want to serve him more. If only your strength and your body would allow. Right? But you can't. You're hot. Your love for Christ is hot. Your love for the truth is hot. Your love for the church is hot. You know what? If that's you, praise the Lord. That is the Spirit of God at work in your life, causing you to want to do more with each passing year. If only you could do it. If that's you, praise God. That's very good. But this message of Christ is not aimed at you. If you're lukewarm, the truth is Jesus knows by your works that you're neither cold nor hot. You're neither one of these. And if that's you, this message is directly to you. And the second truth is that Christ could wish you were cold or hot, because either one of those would be better than what you are. The truth for all of us is lukewarm is the worst condition you could be in. Verse 15, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. Now that strikes us as strange, because we might think, come on, cold has got to be the worst. No, it isn't. Lukewarm is the worst. Lukewarm is worse than cold. It's worse than cold. See, if you were cold, then at least it would be clear to everyone else what you are and where you stand. Someone might say, hey, what's up with that gal? I mean, she's like never showing up, never does a thing. Oh, leave her alone. She's not a believer yet. Nor does she profess to be. That's why she's not interested. That's why she doesn't serve. That's why she's not volunteering. Leave her alone. We want her to come to know Christ. We all can see clearly. We all understand. If you were hot, it'd be the same way. Like, we'd all know where you stand. Oh, that guy, yeah, oh, of course. The reason he's always showing up, the guy's on fire for Christ. He's always showing up, always asking questions, always taking part in the discussion, always suggesting new things, always trying to get the word of Christ out, always wanting to do more evangelism, more discipleship, more of everything. He's zealous for Christ and the gospel. Praise the Lord. It would be clear where this person stands. That's the person who obeys, listen closely, who obeys the command of Jesus in Romans 12:11, be fervent, i.e. hot, in spirit, serving the Lord. That's what every Christian is to be. Every Christian is to run hot. It's commanded. It's part of the application of the gospel of Christ, to be fervent or hot in spirit, serving the Lord. But if you're lukewarm, you're neither one of these things. You're not cold. I mean, it's not like you have no works at all. You profess to be a Christian and you come to church, kind of like, just like Pastor Dan said to the kids, you know, there's lukewarm Christians. They kind of show up now and then, you know, but you can't count on them. I mean, they're not going to be there every Sunday, and a lot of Sundays they won't be there. They just don't want to be there. It's not like they're cold, but it isn't like they're hot either. Like, they're in between, and it's hard to tell what's going on. And the truth is that Christ could wish that you were one or the other, cold or hot, because that would be better than what you are. Third truth. Because you are lukewarm, if you are lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, Jesus is about to vomit you out of his mouth. I mean, that's the heart of this message. If you're a lukewarm Christian, that means you profess to be Christian, but Jesus sees your works and he can see that you're lukewarm, then you're about to be judged. When it says, because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, it literally says, I am about to vomit you out of my mouth. It doesn't say I will in the original. It says, I'm about to do this. I mean, this is coming soon. Not to a theater near you. It's coming soon to you. I'm going to spit you out. I'm going to judge you. And it really means you disgust him. Christ cannot stand the way you profess to be a Christian. You say you're a follower of Jesus, but you're nothing like Jesus Christ in zeal. You're nothing like Jesus Christ in zest. You're nothing like Jesus Christ in your attitude towards the Father. Nothing like Jesus Christ in your attitude towards the lost. Nothing like Jesus Christ in your attitude towards the church. You could kind of take it or leave it when it comes to the church. You could kind of take it or leave it when it comes to prayer. You could take it or leave it when it comes to worship, fellowship, all that stuff. It's just, eh. It's like that commercial. Okay. Eh. How's church? It's okay. How do you like the Bible? Eh. It's okay. Well, what do you think about Jesus? He's okay. It's like the song, Jesus is just all right with me. Remember, song of a lukewarm guy. Talk about a song that is blasphemous. Jesus is just all right with me. Well, if he's just all right with you, you make him sick. Really. It's disgusting. Because Jesus is not is worthy of far more than eh and just all right. And so he says, because you're lukewarm, he's about to spit you out of his mouth, which is a word picture for imminent judgment. He's about to judge you for your being lukewarm, for your disgusting lack of zeal for spiritual things. Fourth truth. And this is probably the saddest part of all, because you know what? If you're truly lukewarm, there's a good chance you're not going to listen. If you're truly lukewarm, there's a good chance you're not going to listen. Because fourth truth is, you've been deceiving yourself and others. You have been deceiving yourself and other people. Look at verse 17. Because you say, and here's what you think of you. I'm rich. I've become wealthy. I have need of nothing. This is not talking about literal riches, although another historical background of Laodicea is that it was a well-to-do community. We have well-to-do parts of our city. We have more well-to-do parts maybe of Colorado. Certainly in our nation, there are certain areas of the nation that are more well-to-do. Laodicea was known as a well-to-do town. There was a black wool that was produced and sold there, and they made money off of that. Believe it or not, there was an eye salve that had been developed at a local medical school, and they produced that. And as a result, this was a well-to-do town. But Jesus is talking to those who were in the church, and those who were in the church and the messenger of the church felt that, you know what, they don't really need anything. We're good. We have everything we need. We are right where we want to be. Jesus says, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You know, a lukewarm Christian is somebody who thinks that they're just fine. That's why they don't show up. It's why they don't get involved. They feel like there's really nothing more they need to know. There's really nothing more they ought to do. They feel like they're really doing everything that Jesus could possibly want from them. They already know everything that Jesus could possibly want them to know. They're just totally comfortable. Nothing's ever convicting. Nothing's ever challenging. They don't ever feel like they need to make changes. That's the lukewarm Christian. And they're oblivious to where they really are. Jesus says the reality is that a lukewarm churchgoer is wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That's the reality. How can you tell? By their works. Jesus says you're wretched. First word there. That's the opposite of spiritually rich and needing nothing. That means desperate. You are in a desperate spiritual condition. That's wretched. Desperate. Desperately needing to be delivered out of this condition. Miserable. That's the opposite of being wealthy. That means pitiful. That means people should look at you and say, I feel sorry for that person. I pity that individual. What a sad thing to be a lukewarm Christian. What a sad thing to profess to believe in Christ and you don't even know him. That would be sad, right? And yet it happens all the time. People profess to be Christians. They feel like they're good. They feel like they're on their way. But they don't know Jesus. They don't love him. Poor. If you're lukewarm, you're poor. That means you really have next to nothing going for you spiritually. I say next to nothing because, guess what? Jesus is speaking to these people in love. This is a loving warning to the lukewarm. But he says the reality is you're poor. You have next to nothing going for you. Blind. You can't even see the sad shape that you're in. You think you're good. You think you're well off. And naked. You know what that means? You're exposed. And other people probably can see, even if you can't. The fourth truth is, you've been deceiving yourself and probably other people, but you're not deceiving Christ. Right? Truth about lukewarm Christians. Lukewarm Christians deceive themselves and those around them, but they need to hear the truth. Fifth truth. Fifth truth. The lukewarm Christian desperately needs to acquire three things from Jesus. Or if you're lukewarm, I'll state it to you directly, Christ counsels you, advises you firmly to acquire three things from him. Gold, garments, and salve. Verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me. Stop there. Not with money. Not with money. You can't get these things with money. But you can acquire them from Christ, and it will cost you. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich. That's the first thing you need. Gold refined in the fire that you might be rich. This is a word picture for pure, genuine faith. Same word picture is used by Peter in 1 Peter 1 when he talks about your faith that is tested by fire. True faith wants to go through trials. True faith wants to serve. True faith has a passion, a zeal, a zest. True faith isn't afraid to stick your neck out or get outside your comfort zone. And then true faith goes right into and through the trial, and true faith only becomes better through the trials. Boy, there's something you can only get from Jesus Christ. A genuine faith that wants to be and will be tested. That tells us something about the faith of the lukewarm Christian. It's not the real deal, right? It's the Russians say falshivy. It's false. In other words, you say you believe, but do you really? You say you love Jesus, but do you really? You say you know Christ, but do you really? Because Christ looks at the works and he says, I'm not seeing it. Christ counsels you to buy from him white garments. You need garments, white garments, that you might be clothed and that the shame of your nakedness might not be revealed. That means that you won't be further exposed. And white garments are a word picture for true, genuine righteousness, which the lukewarm Christian also lacks. The lukewarm Christian is somebody who feels pretty good because, hey, you know, I gave to the offering last week. I feel pretty good about that. I haven't gone but 3 months, and I've already given. Or, yeah, hey, I helped out once this year already, served one time already. I feel pretty good about that. This is the lukewarm Christian. They feel good about anything they ever do, and then puffs them up a little more. Can't say I don't do anything for Jesus. I did something last November. The fact that you lack this true righteousness is evident in a lack of truly righteous deeds. Listen to what Titus says. Titus 2:14. Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous, that's hot, for good deeds. I mean, the whole purpose of Christ going to the cross was to buy out a people who are going to be on fire for him. So if you're lukewarm, mission unaccomplished. And Christ counsels you to buy from him, to acquire from him, white garments, that is true righteousness, which only he can give you, so that you might be clothed and that the shame of your nakedness might not be further revealed. He also counsels you to buy from him eye salve. And Laodicea was known for a medical school where they had produced a certain mix of components that was sold all over the place to help treat eye problems. Christ is using that. This is a word picture for spiritual discernment, and for that you need the Holy Spirit. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. The eye salve is a reference to the Holy Spirit, which the lukewarm Christian lacks. How can you tell? By their works, or lack thereof. The lukewarm Christian doesn't see things through spiritual eyes because they don't have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of them. Bottom line, you need Jesus Christ. Bottom line, you need. If you're a lukewarm Christian, you should be Christ. I am begging you, forgive me of my sins and give me this gold, this true, genuine faith. Clothe me with true, genuine righteousness, not a righteousness that's my own, but a righteousness that's through faith, your righteousness. And heal my eyes so that I can see things the way they really are, so that I wouldn't deceive myself or anyone else. Amen. Sixth truth, there is only one way out of this condition. There's only one way out. Verse 19. And this is the good news, that there is a way out. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. There's only one way out, and that is to receive this loving rebuke of Christ, become zealous, and repent of your lukewarmness. You can't stay the same after this sermon. You can't stay the same for the rest of this day. You can't remain a lukewarm Christian. If you do, then Jesus will follow through on his word. He is the faithful and true witness. He is the Amen. He is the beginning of creation. He will spit you out. You will be judged by him. Be zealous and repent. That means turn around. And it says, therefore, in light of Christ's love for you, in light of this loving warning. And it says, be zealous, meaning be zealous about this warning. Be fired up about the fact that Christ, through his word and through his servant, is speaking to you saying, you can't be lukewarm any longer. Today needs to be the end of lukewarm Christian living. The end of it. Be zealous and repent. Believe him when he says he's about to spit you out, that he's about to judge you. Believe him when he says that it's disgusting for you to go on living lukewarm. Believe him when he says that every Christian is to be fervent in spirit. Romans 12:11. And start serving him. You know, this is much like the warning of Psalm 2, when the author of Psalm 2, which is maybe David, though it doesn't say, when the author says, man, why are people doing what they're doing when it comes to the Lord? You better wisen up and kiss the Son before you provoke him to further anger. And then he says, blessed is everyone who takes refuge in him. And that's the seventh truth. If you will be zealous and repent, then there are great blessings ahead. If you will be zealous and repent, there are great blessings ahead. Or if you're not a lukewarm Christian, if you're a hot Christian and you know someone who's lukewarm, the lukewarm need to hear that they have to repent, and if they do, there are blessings ahead. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. How many of us have heard that verse, right? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And we usually hear it, people talking to little children, and Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. That is not the picture here. The picture is of Jesus on the outside of a lukewarm church. Why? Because the lukewarm church doesn't have Jesus. He's not in there. But neither does the lukewarm Christian. He doesn't have Jesus. There's a picture of Jesus saying, listen, I'm knocking. And it's a knock of a warning. It's a loving warning. I'm going to spit you out. But if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, this is to the lukewarm, if you will listen to this warning and receive it, if you will become zealous and repent, Jesus says, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. You know what that is? That is the promise of intimacy. That is the promise of Jesus coming close to you and you being close to Jesus. And you will be on fire. You will be on fire. Remember the two that were walking down the road to Emmaus, and Jesus comes alongside. Well, we were hoping that he was the one, but apparently not. And Jesus says, what are you talking about? Like, they rebuked Jesus. Are you the only one in Jerusalem doesn't know what's going on here? But Jesus began opening their heart and their mind and their eyes to understand that it was him. And they said, man, did our hearts burn. And at night, they went 7 miles back uphill to tell people that they had seen. I'll bet you those guys were never not on fire again. That's what Jesus wants for you, to never be lukewarm again. And he tells you, all you need to do is hear his voice and open the door. Lord Jesus, please come in. Please do not let me live another minute as a lukewarm person. I don't want to be blind and poor and naked. I don't want to be exposed. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Lord Jesus, help me, save me, come into my life, change me, fire me up. And there will be reward. Not only will he come into you and be close to you and walk with you, as amazing that is, there's a second reward, verse 21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Christ will grant to every overcomer, to everyone who gains the victory over sin, and in this case, victory over the sin of being lukewarm, victory over that sin by faith, Christ will grant to every one of them the right to sit with Christ on his throne, that is to share with Christ in his kingdom. Can you imagine? You know who's going to be up on the throne with Christ in the kingdom? People who were once in sin. That's all that's going to be there. People who were once in sin heard the message of Christ by the Spirit of God, became convicted and convinced, and cried out to him for mercy. That's good news. There's going to be a lot of former lukewarm Christians on the throne with Christ. That is really good news. That's the picture he gives. You're going to be exalted to this high position to sit down with Christ on his throne. Verse 22, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Not just to us, but to all the churches. And the message is, if you didn't get it, is this. Jesus Christ is against a lukewarm person. Anyone who professes to be a Christian but is lukewarm is a contradiction in terms and is repulsive to Christ. But there is hope. There is great hope for you if you're a lukewarm Christian and for everyone who is. And that hope is to receive the warning of Christ. Open the door to him, become zealous and repent, and Jesus will bless you abundantly. It could be you're here today and you're cold. Everything I've said this morning just kind of bounces off and you're cold. I have hope for you too, believe it or not. I have hope for you too. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. That's the gospel in a nutshell. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. That means if you continue on serving sin, you will die and be separated from God forever. And yet the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can receive the gift of eternal life today by trusting in Christ. And if you trust in Christ today, you'll become hot. You will. You will never forget where you came from. Your eyes will be continually open to your own sinfulness. You'll hear a message like this, and even if you're not lukewarm, you'll be crying out to God in repentance, saying, God, I hate that I am ever lukewarm. I hate that I'm ever like those people. I hate that there are days go by where I feel like I'm lukewarm. You'll be on fire for Christ. If you're cold, I encourage you to receive Christ today. If you're lukewarm, I encourage you, open the door to this loving warning. And if you're hot and you've been hot, stay hot. Continue to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this loving warning. We thank you for your faithfulness to speak to us where we're at. I pray, Father, for those in this congregation who are hot, that you would keep us hot, that you would keep us on fire for you, that you would keep us serving you and keep us fervent in our prayers and fervent in our love for one another. You call us to love one another fervently, hotly from the heart, because such love covers a multitude of sins. Lord, I pray for those people who are cold, who really don't know Christ, don't have Christ, who are far from Christ, who know that they're not believers. I pray that you would convert them. But Father, I pray most of all for any who are lukewarm, who just really don't have the love that overlooks a multitude of transgressions. They can't really love their neighbors. They're just going along day after day in mediocrity. I pray, Father, that you would be gracious and merciful, that they would open their hearts to receive this word from Christ. I pray it in his name. Amen.